these wonderful 40 years that God has given Joyce with those of us here in the Navigators. And I hope, is the sound okay? Cheryl, am I okay over there? Okay, we're going to have a number of people sharing. My name is Ed Rice. Ruth and I are with the Navigators here in Colorado Springs. And I'll be sharing the MC duties with Donald McGilchrist. And we're going to ask Donald to come now and just give a brief overview of Joyce's career with the Navigators and also to lead us in prayer. Donald.
I join Ed in saying how very special it is to be here this afternoon. Thank you, Joyce, for causing this to happen. It's a delight. Let me tell you a little bit about Joyce's Navigator career amongst us. Early in her life, she decided that she wanted to be a missionary nurse, a nurse in India. And she did indeed qualify as a nurse at the University of Stanford in California. And then she led the Navigator ministry at Stanford among women. Then in 1953, she moved to Detroit to help in the follow-up of the Detroit Billy Graham Crusade. And in those days, we didn't send single women overseas, and that was not our policy at all. But with much wisdom, Lorne Sanney decided in 1956 to break the policy, and so Joyce was the first single woman whom we had the privilege of sending overseas. In 1956, Lorne asked her to pray about moving to England. And she arrived at Waterloo Station, near my home in London, late in 1956, 36 years ago, after sailing across the Atlantic on the United States. In London, there were already five women, I believe, who were waiting and eager to be discipled and to be helped in their spiritual lives. And so, as soon as Joyce arrived, there was work to be done. She was also responsible for the Navigator office in London, which in those days sent out many publications. By the 1970s, the Navigators had spread out into around 14 countries in Europe and the Middle East and Africa, and Joyce was on Doug Sparks' leadership team for that vast area of the world. Joyce traveled throughout the entire region, building spiritual commitment and maturity into women who were themselves leaders. She spent many years in Europe, very successful ministry, and a ministry which impacted me, and I'm proud to be able to stand here and just thank her publicly for her impact on my life and on Jeannie's life. In 1982, Joyce returned to the USA, her mission in Europe completed. After a period in our international group here in Colorado Springs, she rejoined the U.S. Navigators. In 1986, she launched the Women of Influence ministry that many of you are involved in now. And, of course, as you know, the Women of Influence ministry is also now transferred into very capable hands. So it's certainly fitting that at this time, Joyce can enjoy a richly earned rest from organizational leadership. Needless to say, her ministry continues. And that's a very special lady and a very special friend, and that's just a little bit of an overview of where she has been in her Navigator years and her Navigator life. I'd like us to pray together now, if we may, please. Let's pray. Father, we're here in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ this afternoon with joyful hearts. We gather to celebrate our community in Christ, and to express to you and to one another a deep sense of gratitude for our friend Joyce. We thank you for her example, her devotion to the Lord, her commitment to the vision that we share. We pray that this will be a memorable time this afternoon, full of good memories and full of hope for the future. We thank you, Father, for all those around the world who would wish to have been with us this afternoon but who could not come. And on their behalf and on our own, Father, we just want to praise you this afternoon for your grace and mercy to us through the love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay. Ed. 40 years ago, when Joyce began her career with the Navigators, things were different than they are now. And, you know, the Hallmark Company, the Hallmark Card Company, does a service whereby you can give them a date and they can tell you what was happening during those years. So we have, in the autumn of 1952, what was going on in the world when Joyce made this momentous decision to work with the Navigators. You know who the president was? Who was the president of the USA back in 1952? No. He was the next one, but Truman was a lame duck president autumn 40 years ago. And I think Truman and he were meeting together to discuss the transition. Eisenhower was inaugurated then, I think, in the following January. Eisenhower at this time, though, had already named some of his cabinet, and John Foster Dulles was appointed his Secretary of State. It also says the completion of the hydrogen bomb. I didn't know if that would be very appropriate to mention in this surrounding. Who was the vice president under Truman? Anybody remember that? I didn't either. I mean, I just have it here. Alvin Barkley. Who is he? One of the favorite TV shows during that time was Arthur Godfrey and his Talent Scouts. And in the World Series, the Yankees beat the Dodgers, Brooklyn Dodgers, that is, and the New York Yankees. Let's see, you could have gotten a three-bedroom home for $9,075. But you would have only earned $3,800 a year. That would have been your average income. A new Ford would have only cost you $1,500. And gas for 1 gallon would have been 28 cents. And for a loaf of bread, 16 cents. So that's a little bit of what it was like. We're going to have several people talk to us about their recollections of Joyce's career. And I'm going to just introduce the three of them. They're good friends of Joyce's. And we want these three just to come up one after the other in the order in which I will give their names. I'll tell you a little bit about them. Lawrence Sanney was president of the Navigators when Joyce first went overseas. He's now chairman of the board of the Navigators. Lauren is going to tell us a little bit about Joyce's send-off to Europe and then some of his recollections of Joyce and her ministry. Next will be Doug Sparks. Doug, during the years that Joyce was in Europe, was the director of the Navigator work in Europe, Middle East, and Africa. He's currently the Asia director of the Navigators, working here out of Colorado Springs. And then Pat Lawler, who was involved for a number of years as a leader in the Navigator Girls work in London, is with us. And she is currently a pastoral assistant at Emmanuel Church in Wimbledon, in England. She's going to tell us and share a little bit about her recollections of those days in London. So let's hear from Lauren, and then Doug, and then from Pat Lawler.
I read just this week that at my age I know my way around, but I'm too tired to go there. But I learned last year that I reached the age where I can hide my own Easter eggs and not find them again. So when it says here that Lauren will share about Joyce's send-off to Europe, I had to go ask her about it. And it was in 1956. She was in Detroit. I went through there and asked her what was on her heart. She said she'd like to go overseas. I said, where? She said, either England or Germany. Wrote to her later. She reminded me and said I was still praying about it. And I must have been, because I said so, though I don't remember that now. Then came to the July staff conference, and I told her that I would like her to go to England and handle the Navigator office there and start a work with women, and could she let me know in 24 hours? which was standard practice those days. If you got 24 hours, it was a little extra time. She said, I don't need it. I can tell you right now. And so it was at the staff conference, as we did in those days. We made announcements of who was going overseas and honored them and prayed for them as they left. But I'll tell you this, I need no prompting whatsoever to tell you about Joyce and her ministry. It was when I was there with the Graham team in 54 and 55, a chairman of the crusade was General Wilson Haffenden. And it was after Joyce had been there a while and saw what she had done and God had done through her with women, that he said, Lorne, would you send a man over here to do with men what we've seen Joyce Turner do with women? And that is how we got started with Ed Rice and others going over there. And I haven't taken time to compare numbers or statistics, but in my mind, probably one of the finest women's work that we've ever had in the Navigators was that under Joyce's leadership in London, without a doubt. And I might say, and especially in the days when we had some ups and downs as far as the women's work and the Navigators was concerned, and which leads me to another thing about Joyce's character. Not only a godly woman, a very patient woman, and a very wise woman. And on that point, she is sought not only for her ministry among women, but her wisdom and her counsel has been sought out by more than one man in leadership, including myself. And it has always been very, very helpful. I must say this also, that for somebody who hadn't traveled much in those days, to get off a plane in England and sit on the wrong side while you're driving down the wrong side of the street and you're sitting in the front is a scary thing, except with Joyce Turner driving. She's one of the finest drivers that I have ever ridden with in my life. And I would go with her anywhere when it comes to driving. As I was reflecting this afternoon about this occasion, about Joyce, I thought, you know, Betty Skinner summarized the first 23 years of the Navigator ministry in a book called DOS. And at this stage, I thought to me, if we were to write a book on the women's ministry in the Navigators, we could very well entitle it Joyce.
I say a hearty amen to that. Joyce arrived in England in 1956. I arrived in the Netherlands with my family in 1958. And it was amazing to see what God had done in just those 2 years. And the women that God had drawn to Joyce and to a study of the Word and to personal help and discipling and equipping. I haven't seen anything overseas happen that solidly and to that degree in 2 years anywhere. And when I arrived on the scene, she was already being called Mother Superior. And I think she was a superior mother, superior shepherd, superior example, and a superior friend. And I think one of the things that hallmarks Joyce's ministry is not ministry, but it's friendship. And I know that she's a lifelong friend to me and my family. And we can be in different parts of the world having different jobs, but the friendship doesn't decrease one bit. And when I arrived, I don't know, maybe 100 or 200. It wasn't long before there were over 300 women in Bible study in London, to the consternation of most Nav men around the world. And at that particular time, you see, Dawson, Lauren had just been there with Billy Graham, and all the evangelists throughout Europe were asking NAV men to train counselors and help them in the follow-up. So the ministry that Joyce was carrying out was really the nav ministry, the model. Leading people to Christ, getting them in the Word, helping them personally. 2 Timothy 2:2, faithful women who shall teach others also. And they weren't just women who could teach others also. They were women of stature. Pat Lawler is here. Well, she's been a right arm to Joyce for years. And I'll mention others later, like Jean Douglas. And I won't try to mention all of the names, but there was just a tremendous number of women of stature. And Joyce had laid the foundation of many generations in their life. And as the work in Europe began to grow, she was going to Scandinavia, and she was raising up Scandinavian women. And a lady in Denmark who was a judge and a lawyer and left her profession to serve the navigators in Denmark and Germany. And then when we were opening up, oh, there goes my time. So I've got to end right now. But I just want to end with this thought, that some of the women she raised up became missionaries, Lena Hagegaard. And she's the one, with Joyce's visits, that under God raised up Esther, who's one of the finest women of God that I know anywhere in the world. And then Barbara went to the Middle East and helped pioneer the Middle East, and then really began to help pioneer it when she married Nabil. And even now in China, Mags Dugan from England is one of the mainstays of the women's ministry in China. So Joyce has had a worldwide ministry. But I think the keynote is she has raised up the foundation of many generations, not through ministries, but through individual lives. Thank you.
My recollections of Joyce, my early recollections of Joyce, are of a woman who was freezing half to death most of the time. If you look at the photographs over there, you'll see what I mean. She would dress herself as warmly as she could, like an Eskimo. In those days, in those far-off days in England, we didn't have central heating in many of our homes. And the lass from California was freezing. So it was just one of the many adjustments she had to make in this mission field of England that she had come to. I first met Joyce when she came to lead a Bible study group at my church. And it was in the early 60s. And never before had any of us experienced this type of Bible study group or had any help like she gave us on how to apply these truths to our lives. Slowly, I became sure of my salvation. It took a while. And gradually, I began to grow as a Christian. And the others' lives in the group similarly were affected in the same way. My testimony can be repeated hundreds of times over. And because there was nothing like this teaching in our churches or in our Christian unions at that time. And God wonderfully used the Navigator ministry to meet that gap, to fill that, bring life into that desert. By the middle, late 60s, as Doug has already said, we had about 300 women in Bible studies and training courses. Some of these women, as you've heard, went overseas in missionary work. Others joined the Navigator ministry at home and abroad. And Barbara went to Beirut, as Doug has said, and Jean to Korea. And Vicky and Ian went to Iran. And there were others over the years that went overseas. As I look back, it seems that we were always tired and stretched. But those very demands made upon us threw us more and more upon the Lord And I think each one of us felt very humbled at being able to co-labor with God during those days. Days in which God was doing amazing things as the work spread throughout Great Britain, Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. And it was a tremendous privilege to be a part of it. In fact, he did great and mighty things far beyond that which we had ever imagined in our wildest imaginings. By this time, Joyce's responsibilities had widened, and she was visiting these countries much of her time. And she would wander around the continents one by one throughout the years. Her wisdom and experience and counsel were widely sought after, as Lorne has mentioned. She has a gift of being able to listen and being able to get to the heart of the issues and then being able to give constructive advice and suggestions. My own debt to Joyce is incalculable. I was discipled and trained by her and worked with her in London for a period of time. If I were to encapsulate the things that I valued most over the years, it would be the things that she communicated to us about God: his sovereignty, his faithfulness to his word and to his children, and his unchangeable love. Under God, Joyce, you've helped to give us a wonderful heritage. Thank you.
It's very nice to come up after you, Pat. Joyce discipled Pat, as you've heard, and then Pat discipled my wife, Jeannie. So I'm very grateful. I knew Joyce first as a leader who walked with God, and then later I came to know her as a warm and true friend. And one of the things that's impressed me, Joyce, so much about you is you really loved my country, and you really gave yourself for my people. And I thank you publicly for that. I still savor the pleasure that I had of working closely with Joyce for more than 5 years on Doug Sparks' leadership team there in what we called Emma. Joyce and I spent many fascinating hours together. She's one of those souls with whom I have always found an immediate affinity. We just seem to think and feel in such similar ways. And for me, Joyce communicates several things. First, a deep sense of humor. We've had very good times together, hilarious times. Secondly, a respect for tradition. And any Englishman, of course, respects a person who respects tradition. And thirdly, I put in my notes here, a love of fast cars. If we marry that with Lorne's good driver, we're still okay. But Joyce really cares about cars. And last but not least, an unflinching integrity. A woman of her word. Joyce has done a great deal for my family over the years, spiritually, especially during some very bleak years for Jeannie's mother. And for that, too, we are grateful. She brought light to bear on our struggles. And she has brought light to many women in many countries. The navigators in one of these countries, the Netherlands, have asked me, Joyce, to present you with a gift that they have sent over this afternoon. And they wrote in their letter not only their love and their commendation to you, but also a request that you open it now. From the Dutch navigators. In those days, the Dutch ministry was a very strong ministry, and women like Jean Lightfoot and Heen Carson were women whom Joyce knew and worked with and helped and served. And that ministry was very strong and blessed by God. As Joyce opens the mysterious package, let me just mention the verse of Scripture that they wanted associated with this gift. It's from Isaiah 60, verse 19. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. The Lord will be your everlasting light. Hold it up, Joyce, so that we may see, perhaps. Yeah. The Lord will be your everlasting light. Ed?
After Joyce had been in London for a while, we arrived in 1962, and then another 5 years later, some American friends came over to visit, and they asked Joyce, they said, after having spent up to then, I think it was maybe 10 years here in England, do you think that it has affected your speech at all? And she said, oh, no, I don't think so. My co-MC is Donald McGilchrist, who's on the international leadership team of the Navigators here, living in Colorado Springs. We're going to have the opportunity now of listening to some, to hear from two of Joyce's close friends who couldn't be here, Ann Horsford and Kay Carswell. They've sent greetings by tape. Now, you're going to have to listen very carefully, but we've asked somebody to punch the button. So I think, first of all, will be greetings from Ann Horsford, and then from a young lady named Kay Carswell.
Hello, Joyce. Greetings due from England. And I just wanted to say what a joy it is to greet you on this very special day. I'm just only so sorry that I can't be with you. But I thought, second best, I would send you my greetings by tape and tell you that you'll be much in my thoughts and prayers, and I'll be visualizing you there at the Glen today especially. Just in case you hadn't realized who it was, it's Elizabeth Ann, but I think you would have recognized the voice before then, before now. Joyce, as I was thinking about this great and special day for you, I began to reminisce about your early days back in England, and all the great blessing that you were to us when you arrived way back in the 1950s. I remember a few days after you arrived, meeting you in the office at 20 John Street. And just to remind you, if you need to be reminded, when you first came to England, you were met by Joy Haywood, Joy Davis now, and you went to stay with her and live with her, I believe, at 17A Highgate West Hill, do you remember? With her and Elizabeth. After that, Alison came and joined you, and then when Alison bought 52 the Ridgeway in Golders Green, you moved into that house, and I joined you quite soon after that. And I always remember those early days, five women and a dog, and no central heating, do you remember? As you once commented, they were fairly hard days, and they must have been, and particularly for you, for coming from the comforts of the USA. I often thought a lot about you then and how hard it must have been. But Joyce, you were absolutely wonderful in all the blessing that you were to us and the way that you taught us and encouraged us and the fun and laughter we had together too at various family councils we used to have and all the many things that we did. I always remember one particular occasion that comes to mind when you were driving Mildred and myself to the office and the car wouldn't start and it was a cold winter morning, and after a while you said, right, let's pray. And we all prayed very fervently, and I really expected a miracle to take place. But when we finished praying, you said to us, right, girls, get out and start pushing. And I thought, Joyce, where's your faith? But anyway, we got out and started pushing, and we'd hardly been doing it for a minute when around the corner came a man with jump cables and everything, and he got the car started, and I thought, there's the miracle. And how typical of you, Joyce, wonderful, a woman of prayer and a woman of practical help. And that was certainly, really sums up very much of your life, because you were such an inspiration to us, you still are. But it's been wonderful. And as I think too of the way that you trained me and so many of the women, not only in England but in Europe, and how many women there are today, and I'm sure many of them will be communicating with you today to bear tribute to the fact of all that you have meant in our lives personally. I just feel that I'm the person that I am today in the Lord because of your help and encouragement and challenge and inspiration. So Joyce, thank you. Thank you so much for all that you are, for all that you have meant to me in the past and all that you mean to me today. And so glad you're over in California, because I shall be hopping over there every now and again as I do. And we'll look forward to seeing you again soon over there. So Joyce, I won't be any longer, because I'm sure there are lots of people wanting to greet you today. But I want to send you my love, my deep appreciation, and blessings to you in these coming days. I'm sure your retirement will be as busy or busier, knowing you, and with lots of blessing to many people, because you are one of these people who will just keep on bearing fruit wherever you are, and we just praise God for that. So thank you, Joyce, and lots of love. Goodbye.
Hello, Joyce. This is Kay speaking from Frinton-on-Sea in England on a sunny August bank holiday. It would be lovely to be sharing in your retirement celebrations today. I can imagine it may be something like that occasion when we all met together to say thank you to you and held This Is Your Life at the Royal Festival Hall some years ago. I'm glad of this opportunity to say thank you for all you've given to me and all you've meant to me, through your example and through your teaching, your prayers, your vision, and your love. I'll never forget that evening at your flat in Nightingale Lane, when as you answered some of my questions and shared your faith in Jesus, that your love for him so radiated from your life that I wanted to have a similar relationship and committed my life to Jesus Christ that evening. I can recall the Bible studies at your flat, which I think were on a Monday evening called Family Council, and they were so exciting. That used to be the highlight of the week for me. And your example in preparation was also a challenge to me to prepare well. Two scriptures that come to mind whenever I think of you are the one in Colossians, where we're told that whatever we do, to do it heartily as unto the Lord, and how that you encouraged us to do whatever we did, to do it well, even when it came to sticking a stamp on straight on the envelope. But the other verse is the one in Psalm 27, which I believe is your life verse. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Thank you, Joyce, for all the encouragement that you've been. As I said, it would be lovely to be with you, but this just comes with my thanks and a great big hug. And I hope you'll have a very happy evening and a very happy retirement. Bye-bye, Kay.
You could hear that all right, couldn't you? That was, yes, very well done. Thank you, Steve. We are going to have a special music item now. Richard and Barbara Howard, Michael and Sarah Hawthorne are going to sing a song of thanks.
Joyce, we don't know how special this is going to be, but this song was chosen because everyone here wants to express their thanks to you for giving to God a special gift, and that was your service to him. We heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. I turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said,
friend, you may not know me now. Wait. Used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. Every week I'd say a prayer before the class would start. One time when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart.
I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave.
Then another man stood before you and said, remember the time a missionary came to your church. His pictures, they made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today.
Thank you for giving. Lord, I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to Lord. I am so glad you gave.
One by one they came, far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, but in heaven now proclaimed.
I know up in heaven that you're not supposed to cry. I am almost sure those are tears in your eyes. And as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord, he said, child, look around you, for great is your reward.
We have one more taped segment from someone who is glad that you came, Joyce. Esther Waruiru has sent us a tape from East Africa. Esther is an acknowledged leader of Navigator of the Navigator Ministry in Africa, and so she has this recorded on tape. So listen carefully.
This is a poem in tribute to Joyce Turner, written and read by Esther Waruiru. A rose without thorns. Once she came to Africa, and she has never left. Your life is your ministry, her keynote message, the legacy she has left. So she preached, so she believes, so she lives. Woman of noble character, a pioneer with incredible courage, persevering with unusual humility, quiet of spirit, but what commitment, bearing her cross, believing his word, in love with her Lord, she has stayed on course. What was her secret? Continent after continent, place after place, person after person poured their hearts, always attentive she listened and kept her smile. Her voice, is it ever raised? Gentle, refreshing like the morning dew, leaving me encouraged. Hence I prayed to be an encourager too. Her eyes, do they read my soul? Ah, but when they twinkle, what secret mischief lies behind, warm and full of light? Oh, she's a lady, love's fast driving, red cars and all. And yes, yes, she's a friend, loved and cherished, a red rose without a thorn. From Africa, with love and thanks. Joyce, I also want to add that it's been fantastic having you as a model, a mentor, and a very special friend. I wish you God's very special blessing on your retirement. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men, on those who take refuge in you. Joyce, you know I love you. All the best, Esther.
Thank you, Steve. We're going to hear from three others now, and again, we won't introduce them individually, but right now, and then just one after the other, we want Mim Payne to come. Mim has taken over Joyce's responsibility in leading the Women of Influence Ministry, and she's going to share a bit with us about Joyce's vision. Marilyn Ginico is going to come and make a presentation. Actually, Marilyn put this soiree together, Marilyn, so we're all very grateful for your work. We know you had a lot of people helping you, so it's for you and all of your people who have helped you. But Marilyn is going to come and make a presentation. Marilyn is leading the Women of Influence Ministry in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul. And then Jerry White, the president of the Navigators, is going to make a presentation as well. So Mim, and then Marilyn, and then Jerry White.
Joyce, when I first met you in 1987, I said to myself, that's one classy lady. It was at my church here in town. My pastor, who was a longtime friend, said, you must meet Joyce. And you were just so sharply dressed and carried yourself with such dignity. And then, shortly after that, when we went out to a Sunday lunch, we came back by the Toyota dealer, and there sat this red Celica. And your class continued. I was driving. I said, Joyce, you want to look at that? Yes, I do. We went around the block and came back to the Toyota and went up, and it was sitting outside the showroom. And Joyce started looking at it, and this young, very young salesman came out. And Joyce said, now this one has a 300cc with an overhead count, you know, and he said, ma'am, I'll have to go look that up. You're a very classy woman, Joyce, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be associated with you and to be your friend and to have you as a friend. In addition, I've seen such characteristics of Christ in your life. Christ said in John that by myself I can do nothing, and I've seen Joyce demonstrate Christ-like dependence. We tend to think dependence is feminine, but it really is Christ-like. In terms of depending on Christ, on the Spirit, on team members. So I really thank you for demonstrating Christ-likeness in your dependence on Christ and on the Spirit, which is so evident to me, and I'm sure to all of you. Another characteristic of Christ that I've seen in your life and appreciate and have heard from others is that you are willing to suffer. You know, Christ and Peter tells us that Christ came and suffered so that we might have an example. And I know that you have been willing to go to other lands. I talked with your mother on the phone to invite her to come. She was sad that she was not able to travel. But she said, you know, Joyce was gone all those years. And I know you felt that sadness of being gone and being willing to suffer. Sometimes suffering because we're misunderstood. All of us suffer that. But I think also sometimes when we're pioneering new ministries, there are misunderstandings and being willing to experience that suffering. So I want to say thank you for showing me Christ as he suffered being misunderstood on this earth also and being apart from his Father. And then I want to say thank you to you and commend you for your willingness to be sent. And sending to England might have been more fun to being sent to the admin building here at headquarters. I'm not sure. As I've traveled the country and gotten to know a lot of navigator staff, not a lot of them have wanted to be sent here. They want to be in the field, in the battlefield. And so your willingness to be sent, as Terry Taylor invited you, to begin the Women of Influence ministry. So thank you for being a woman who would be sent in to pioneer. So I just want to say I've seen in your life, in the short time that I've known you, you are a woman of faith. You are a woman of vision. You are a woman of influence. And I look forward to watching you be that in the future. I've asked Joyce, please, Joyce, I want to still talk with you on the phone. Will you call me? Because I value, as you all have said, her wisdom and her insight. Thank you, Joyce. We love you.
Joyce, I too want to say thank you to you, and I can't begin to express how deeply your life has influenced me. As a very young believer, I remember hearing stories of Joyce Turner and what was happening in England. And I know it was your example, and as I would hear you teach too, as you talk about your love for Jesus and just loving Jesus, it seemed like a simple thing. I thought maybe God can use my life too, and that really motivated me to invest in women and to think of the potential of having one's life multiplied. When you returned to the U.S., you became a mentor, a coach, and a good friend to me. And I deeply valued your insight, and your counsel got me through many a pickle, and I'm very grateful. But mostly, I value your friendship. And as we work together, we've laughed together, we've cried together, we've played together, we've prayed together, and your heart has been a deep influence on mine, and you're a very precious friend. And I just want to thank you for all that you mean to me and to so many. I want to present to you a not-so-small book full of letters and cards and pictures from your friends around the world, people whose lives you have touched, and it will take you about a month of your retirement to wade through this, I think. But I just wanted to read one excerpt to you from your mom, who wanted to be here and couldn't be here. Dear Joyce, with love and best wishes for your retirement, you have always been a joy to have around. You have always come up with surprises, even as a tiny tot. With your little striped coveralls and straw hat, you went to the field and rode in a box on the plow and rode a horse in for lunch. You thought you were a big shot. Then when you went to Michigan to work after you became a nurse, the greatest surprise was when you went to Europe all alone. It scared me. I thought of so many things that could happen to you. But through prayer and Christian knowledge, I knew God would take care of you. Knowing you, Joyce, I know you would work hard to win souls to the Lord. The Bible tells us all the way through, we are supposed to put God first. You really have. You trusted the Lord at an early age and have always been dependable, still are. I am glad you are retiring in California. I hope I can see a lot of you in the very near future. Your mother, B.
Joyce, all afternoon I've been figuring out how this car thing got into your life. And I just discovered it from your mother's letter. You said, I'm never going to ride in a box on a plow again. Right. Oh, that's it. One of the problems of times like these is my mascara just gets ruined. Delightful time. I was thinking on one verse, Joyce, from Deuteronomy 8. Remember the way the Lord your God led you these 40 years. Now, I know the rest of you, you know the rest of it is in the wilderness. But I also want to point out that that was the beginning of what God did with the children of Israel to conquer the land. So this isn't the end of something, maybe the end of an era, but it is the beginning of what God has specially for you, reaching and discipling women and men. God has used you in so many ways. And I personally have such a deep respect and admiration for you, and you've really left your mark, Joyce, on many and on the Navs. But it's the mark of the love of Christ, and that's, I think, what we deeply appreciate. Now, I went to the Planning for the Future seminar this past week, and I have learned to exercise the word retirement from my vocabulary. Rather, it is taking your benefits. And as two or three said, so I don't have to keep raising funds anymore and going on with the ministry. And I know, Joyce, that is what you are going to be doing. And I think that as I just represent the navigators worldwide, Joyce, I'd like you to come up here now, if you would, please. And on behalf of the navigators, Joyce, all around the world, we don't have gold watches. We're afraid you'd go out and, you know, sell it or something. But we want to present you with a plaque that says Joyce Turner, 1952 to 1992, with deep appreciation for 40 years of fruitful and excellent service as a laborer, leader, and lover of God. The Navigators, November 1st, 1992.
Thank you.
The Lord bless you. Stay with us for a moment. And Joyce, many of the folks just wanted you to have this card and a little gift to go with this. And I think the verse that I would share with you is the verse that Christ said, well done, thou good and faithful service. But I won't add that last part, enter into the joy of thy master. I will say to keep on doing what you've been doing all these years, reaching and helping others and loving Christ. Thank you, Joyce.
Thank you, Jerry.
Lord bless you.
Don't get too comfortable, Joyce. It's your turn. This has all been one way. Now it's your chance to get back at us. And we want you to come and just share with us whatever's on your heart.
Well, this is the hard part.
My colleagues told me that I didn't have to do anything that I didn't want to today, and it was a temptation not to want to speak. But in due respect for all of you who so graciously came to help me celebrate this day, I want to say a few words. It's a very special day. I know that I shall remember it as one of the highlights of my life. I told Pat Lawler that many people will be really glad when I finally exit this organization because of so many big functions they've had to put on. My tenth year in Britain was a very special occasion, a total surprise, but a lot of work and a lot of gifts. My 21st year in Britain was a big thing, and they mentioned that Royal Festival Hall was hired, and we had people from all over. And now, here we are again. And I'm coming up to 41 years on staff. So January 1st, it will be 41, but we'll just round it out at 40. Today is very special to me because of you who are here. I want to say that there's some special, special people here. Each one is special, but did you know that my best friend from high school in Turlock, California is here with her mother? I have a Stanford classmate who is here. Pat and Jean, of course, from Britain. I had a phone call from Portugal from Pirko Tamala, a Finnish friend, just before we sat down to eat. I'm very grateful for my friends from Covenant Church who are here. Covenant Presbyterian Church has meant a great deal to me during these years. There are dear friends who were former staff people who are here from all parts of the U.S. And then, of course, the Navigator, current Navigator staff who are my friends and co-laborers. So it's just a wonderful group of people together, and I'm glad that you're able to meet each other and to share this very special time with me. I think most of all, I want to say I'm so grateful for what the Lord has done for me and for us all. I hope that we will remember that it is His name that we're honoring today and not a person. I would like to be remembered not as any special person, but only as a servant of Christ, a faithful servant of Christ. I've tried to be faithful. I haven't been faultless, but I've tried to be faithful. And I do want to continue to serve Him all the days of my life. I remember the first time I ever went to a Navigator conference. It was a weekend conference at Mount Hermon in California. I was a student nurse at Stanford University, and I had hardly heard of the Navigators, and Dawson Trotman was speaking, and I have never, ever been as challenged in my life, and I'd been in Christian circles for quite a while before that, and the three things that really stood out to me have really motivated me all these years. The first was the strong emphasis upon knowing the Word of God and living it out. The second was the value and potential of every individual to bring glory to God. And the third was the wonderful potential of spiritual reproduction, where each person would invest his or her life in other individuals to help fulfill Christ's great commission around the world. And throughout the years, that's been my joy and my aim. I think the Navigator purpose, as stated now as it was then, to know Christ and to make Him known, has been the biggest motivation as I've thought of what I should be doing, whether it would be in California or Michigan, overseas or back at home. I would have that on a piece of paper. And as someone told about this general, I think, who had his mission in his stated in his desk drawer, and he'd go to work each morning and say, now what am I supposed to do today? And he'd read this little paper. And that's been what I've done with our purpose statement. Now what am I supposed to be doing? Knowing Christ and making Him known. And when others come to know Him, then they're to make Him known. And the word is to be spread around the world until Jesus comes again.
And that's what I hope to be doing until the day I lay down my mantle and join the other saints in heaven. So I just want to say that it's been a tremendous privilege for me to be a servant of Christ. I've been especially blessed in being a part of the Navigator Ministry. I've met a lot of other organizations in the world over the years, and I can honestly say that I'm so glad the Lord called me to be with the Navigators. Not that we're any better, but this is my calling, this is my heart, this is my vision, and it's so workable in any situation. When I'm going to use the word retire, Jerry. I'm not squeamish about this concept because I'm going to draw my benefits, but that sounds a little mercenary for me. I'm going to give myself a sabbatical. I've never been given one before, and now that I'm going to be my own boss, I'm going to have one. So 1993 is my year of sabbatical. I'm going to get caught up on a lot of projects that I've been waiting to do for 40 years. I'm going to take a couple of courses, one being the computer. And I'm going to do some cultural things. I've already joined the San Francisco. I have tickets for the San Francisco Symphony, so I trek over there each month. Of course, I do give my mother and her husband time each week, so that still is a responsibility that is mine. I will have a couple of trips, and I'm just going to have fun. In the meantime, I will join a church out there. I think now that First Presbyterian Berkeley has a new senior pastor, I'll probably be going there, getting acquainted with people and seeing who the Lord will allow me to minister to and befriend and serve. And I don't have any cut and dried plans. I just know that I'm willing to keep serving the Lord. And I believe that there are enough possibilities in the world left that I believe the Lord will link me up with the right people. And I'm not going to feel pressure to get things going. I'm just going to say, here am I, Lord, use me. And I'd appreciate if you'd just pray with me that I'll be sensitive to what he says, that I will know the Lord's will and do it. And I just want to say also that many, many of you are dear friends, and as Doug said, that friendship will certainly not stop, even though I will no longer be an active part of the Navigator staff. I long to keep in touch with you. I will support you in any way possible. I want to get your newsletters and any letters that I can. I invite you to stop and see me in Oakland when you're out that way. And I want to thank you very, very much for all that you've done for me, for the encouragement, for the counsel, for the friendship, for the co-laborship, and for the contribution that you've made to my life. Each of you has touched my life in a very special way, and I thank you. So I leave this again with saying I long to be a servant of God, and I trust that I will continue on for as long as he allows me to be so. He is worthy to be served. Thank you.
I guess I should have said, go ahead, sit down, because we're going to have Terry Taylor come and close our time by leading us in prayer. But I think it'd be appropriate for us to stand again and ask Terry Taylor to come. So shall we all stand, and we'll just close this celebration. And Terry Taylor, the U.S. Director of the Navigators, will lead us in prayer.
George, it's been an upping down afternoon. Come on up. I, too, have been the recipient of a wonderful friendship, and I just want to say how much I value that and what a privilege to be together with you this afternoon. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, so many of us in this room, you have deeply burdened our hearts with a purpose and a passion in life to know you and to make you known. And even as I stand with Joyce this afternoon, we join our hearts together with her and thank you for the grace that you've given her and the mentor and the model and the passion that you've placed in her heart to know you and to make you known. And so, Father, we would pause to say thank you. We would like to express our affection to you and to Joyce and thank you for the love that you placed in her heart for us and for you and for so many people around the world. And now, Lord, the one thing that she desires more than any other, one thing that she has asked of the Lord and that she continues to seek, that she may dwell in the house of the Lord and seek you continually all the days of her life. And to that end, Father, we would ask that you would anoint her in very special ways. Thank you for the mark that she's placed on our life and the Christ-like affection that we know in her. And so, Lord, we would commend her to you in this wonderful celebration. And may this year of sabbatical just be the entrance into years and years of continued service and joy. And we would commend Joyce to you in the wonderful, wonderful name of our Christ and Savior. Amen.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you,
Joyce. We just want to say that rather than having Joyce at the back, she'll be up here. Those of you who have not greeted her yet, I'm sure you'd want to, so we'll have her stay around up at the front. And also, I was asked to make sure that you signed the guest book. So before you leave, if you didn't get to sign it on the way in, please sign it. And if there's anything else, any other business item that we need to take care of, Marilyn, okay?
We'll put the book that we presented to her up on the table
if anyone wants to look at it. All right. The book that was presented, the scrapbook, will be up here. But the guest book will be back in that corner. So if you could sign it before you leave, it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you very much for coming.